Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is Numania.
Rangeham fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Rangeham fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd. We are actually celebrating a win this evening, which we haven't gotten to do in a while. And we're celebrating a new member of the New York Ranger family. Eddie, good evening.
How are you?
Yes, it's Lucky Tuesday. I think the last time we won before, well, we won last night, but the time we won, I think, against the Flyers was last Tuesday. So almost a week between wins. I'm doing great. The Rangers get four goals. They win 4-2. Tuesdays with torts. I got to say, the fans have been going ballistic all over the place this week about how to fix the team, and things got fixed at least for one night as the Rangers beat the Winnipeg Jets 4-2. Everybody's got an opinion. I've got certainly plenty of opinions to share. So I'm doing good. And then tonight, we got a special guest. Hopefully he didn't get jammed up doing all the major broadcasts. And still we'll have time to do this wonderful little broadcast we call Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the great Kenny Albert.
The one and only. One of the hardest working men in the broadcasting business.
And he's well-respected amongst the Ranger fans, which... it's hard because, you know, you got to be real legit to have cred with the diehard Ranger fans who actually follow this team. So he's legit, and I'm waiting to ask him some tough questions.
Oh.
Fair, tough.
Fair and balanced, huh?
I'm not going to go Fox News on him. I'm just going
to...
Mario
would never listen to this show again?
Yeah. So we have a lot of goings-on to, you know, the Ryan Klo acquisition today.
Now, I was asking that in the chat room because, quite honestly, what is the correct – is it Klo? Is it Klau?
Yeah.
Is it Chloe?
From what I remember and from what I've seen and heard, it is Klo. At least the broadcast I watched said that his last name is Klo.
So. All right, so – We'll call him on the down low.
On the down low. His goal totals are low. Now, listen, I'm far from being a disparaging guy. We're going to give everybody their fair chance here as a member of our beloved Rangers.
Of course.
But as Karp wrote in his blog, he'll fit right in. He has zero goals.
Right, yeah, that was the running joke among. We had that posted in the group. I saw that on Twitter. Yes, a guy with zero goals, but this is also a guy. You know, we're not talking about a guy with Brian Boyle. You know, who hit 20 once, and then I think he scored 5 since in 3 years. You know, this is a guy who has scored, you know, I think he's got an 18-goal season. He's got a 21-goal season. This is a guy who can score goals consistently. He's battling a shoulder injury, which is honestly my biggest concern.
Right.
You know, how's the wing? You know, we got a winger with a bad wing here. But I think he brings a little snarl. He brings a little attitude, a little arrogance. A little swagger, whatever you want to call it, something this team is sorely lacking. This team's too nice, as my good friend Keith McElroy said earlier. This team is too nice. It needs a prick.
No, it certainly does. I mean, well, you know, to counter that, and I would be remiss in voicing the opinion of, well, listen, we're 30th in the league in goals, and we wound up getting a gritty guy. But I think we have to understand that the Rangers have a myriad of problems.
Yes.
One of which is goal scoring. But one is they have two guys, I think, on the current roster who have even had a fight this year. They lack the grittiness. They lack the ability to draw penalties. You know, and maybe that can be helped by a guy who's hard on the forecheck and has scored goals, like you said before, you know, where he's not a complete, you know, he's got some skills.
Right.
He's also got a little bit of playmaking ability. So they need to intermingle all those skill players, so-called skill players, with some more grit. And, you know, they've got a lot of problems, the Rangers. The Rangers are... There ain't much that doesn't need fixing. I mean, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, that's about it. You know, I mean, Stepan continues to have a good season. He had a great game against Winnipeg. You know, and Rangers showed me a lot in that game, Jim, because they were down. Of course, they come out early and they get the goal. Everyone's shocked. They're all pleased as punch, you know, getting all riotous at our homes. And then, like, 4 seconds later, whatever it was, Winnipeg had scored and tied the game, and we were back to, and then the Garden went to, you know, it was a morgue in there. And then they take the lead, and then we're about, like, here we go again. But the Rangers came back on that awesome shorthanded goal by the captain, Ryan Callahan, when Zuccarello came out of the penalty box, and... those kind of goals, as you know, and as the fans know, will end up being game changers. Those shorthanded goals just switch the momentum our way, and the Rangers won. It was a big victory. I mean, I hate to go on here, Jim, but it's just I felt like that game was their last gasp. At you know, I know everybody, a lot of people. Said they're not making the playoffs, a lot of fans. I still think they can squeak in there. As bad as they're playing, they're still in the hunt.
Right.
Now, do I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup? There's no way. But and I don't care how many guys get hot and this and that, it's not going to happen. That I've resigned. Now, maybe I'm a little bit too much of a realist with that, but I think everybody's pretty much on board with me that this team cannot continue to play like this and squeak into the playoffs and then beat Pittsburgh or Montreal. I mean, this
right.
is tough task. So, but I wanted to reiterate, like I did on the Facebook page, let's just enjoy the win. Can we just have a day where we're just happy they won? They made us happy instead of going, well, Torts still can't coach offense. You know, whatever it is. Let's just enjoy things. Enjoy life.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but
wait a minute! You're not agreeing with me? What would me?
Well, it's not that I don't agree with you. It's not that I don't agree with you, but okay. there is a portion of this fan base, and I think you could include me in that, and maybe even yourself. Why is Chris Kreider getting 3 minutes of ice time? Why is Chris Kreider not taking a shift in a game after the second period? What are we doing to this kid? I have questions.
Oh, I certainly think, listen, and I hope they ask Kenny these questions because Kenny is a guy that he follows his team 24/7, and he really is a conduit at least on this show, he doesn't know it yet, between us and what's really going on in there. And I'm going to ask him the questions that need to be asked. Is John Tortorella making this personal? And I think a lot of Ranger fans feel like he makes it personal with players. Because I certainly cannot see, and listen, you guys are going to kill me because he's young, but I don't care if you're 20, whether you're 30 like Ryan Clough, whether you're 40 like Roman Hamlick, maybe it was Hamlick over 40, maybe if you're 50 like Roman Hamlick. But JT Miller, who went pointless in the month of March and is a turnover machine, seems to get more playing time and seems to be more relied on and escapes the wrath of torts at all junctures. But Chris Kreider, if he does one thing wrong, seems to be in Chateau Bow Wow. To me, it looks like there is some kind of, favoritism on certain players. And for God's sakes, I mean, I don't know how many times, I just do the show to say, why is Brian Boyle on the power play? Why is Dan Girardi on the power play? I have a new drinking game. Every time Dan Girardi gets a shot on net on the power play, you do a shot. You won't be drunk for the whole season. I mean,
so
you won't even
just enjoy it to win.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the
yips
and the butts and the candy and nuts. So yeah. I'm telling you right now.
And
I
you know that Delzini's got to skate by Kreider on the bench and go, welcome to my world, pal.
JT Miller's got some great talent. He's a young kid. Both of those guys should be sent down far away from John Tortorella as possible at this point. I mean, more for Miller's play and for Kreider's psyche, because it's no fun being the whipping boy and then see them, you know, play clowns. I just don't understand that. But again,
none of your business.
He's here.
None of your business. Next question.
Tortorella is here, so I gotta go with what's here, and it makes my stomach turn to see what happens here, but. I've said this so long. I want to be in the show. I want to make the playoffs.
Right.
So when they got to bring Jesper Fast in here, Zuccarello, flying Elke Summer from Sweden, whatever they got to do.
Elke Summer.
Yeah. I mean, anybody. I mean, they're trying. Come on. I mean, they're reaching all over the globe to try to make the playoffs.
Where's Rayo Ruotsalainen when we need him?
Exactly. Bring back Rayo. We need it. Now, you know, we're hearing, I heard from one of our secret sources that Jamie McBain, an offensive defenseman who's kind of been struggling with Carolina. Well, not struggling, but he lost his position on the power play to Justin Falk, might be coming here. The Rangers. Go ahead.
Cutter. Don Maloney wore number 12 for like 15 years with the Rangers. Don't tell me. What were you about your Leafs? Shut up.
Oh, he's talking about number 12.
No good Rangers ever wore number. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, so they've got the problem. Listen, the Tortorella thing with the fans and with myself and you, of course, it's still lingering. But what are we going to do? He's here. When he's not here, it's very frustrating to watch. I'll just say, I don't have to say that. It's frustrating. But I want to get into the playoffs. If the Islanders get into the playoffs and the Devils get into the playoffs and we're out, I know I preach. I just can't practice what I preach on this because it will hurt. I always say, don't worry about those other teams, but it's just this year. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is.
And you know what else? You know that every team that misses the playoffs starting this year, every team that misses the playoffs has a shot at that number one pick, right? You know
right.
That, right?
Yeah.
I do.
They will tear MSG down brick by brick if the Columbus Blue Jackets wind up with that first overall pick. I mean, you thought what Godzilla did to Madison Square Garden was bad. You ain't seen nothing compared to what this bunch of malcontents and ne'er-do-wells will do to that building. Holy Christ.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of them, you know, a lot of people who are into the draft picks are even, you know, kind of upset that we gave up the picks to get Ryan Klo. And, you know, I'm not as confident, you know, it all really depends. See, the thing with the Klo deal is San Jose, who is in the playoff hunt, okay, and has a guy like Klo, who is a really good playoff performer, is dumping him for draft picks worries me. Because you know how we do on those reclamation projects, the guys with 0 goals and 11 assists with a bad shoulder.
Right.
You know our track record with that.
If he got traded to the Devils, he'd score 28 goals down the stretch.
Oh, yes, and he would lead them to the semifinals. We all know that. But this is our beloved Blue Shirts.
Right, right.
Where players go to collect a paycheck and then go off into the sunset. So that's got me worried. But desperate times calls for desperate measures.
I think Kenny's on hold.
Okay.
I think he has just arrived. And we'll try to... good evening, Kenny, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Ah, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. Kenny Albert, Kenny with Jim and Eddie. Good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. We were just discussing the big trade today, or I guess the semi-big trade.
Well, I see it was just announced by the Sharks. I received an email from the San Jose Sharks, so it is official as of about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so I guess that was the holdup, right? The Sharks just had to approve the deal, I guess, once Klo waived his no trade to come to New York. Was that the holdup?
I don't know that there was a holdup. I just know that these things often take time, and you know the legal side from both teams have to go through the contracts. So if you guys heard there was a holdup, that's news to me.
Oh, okay. That was just, I'm just going by what I read on Twitter and everything else. I guess the last thing that I had saw said that San Jose just had to approve the deal, that Klo had waived his no trade, and I could be wrong about this, but that was what I had read. But anyway, okay, good. So it's done. Eddie, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. I was hearing. Okay. Just making sure you're there.
Okay.
So what's your thoughts on the trade, Kenny?
Well, Klo's a guy who has had success in the past. He's averaged 20 goals over the last 4 years and amazingly hasn't scored this year. No goals on 65 shots, but he does bring grit and toughness. And to be honest, you know, we don't get to see the Western Conference teams play as much, especially this year. So I can't say that I've really seen a lot of Ryan Klo this year. But, you listen to the folks out in San Jose and they talk about what a respected player and teammate he is. So it sounds like he's a guy who could certainly add to this Ranger team over the last 13 games of the season.
Yeah, and seems to be some concern about the draft picks. I'm not real worried about it at this point. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, the release from the Sharks says that the Rangers sent a second-round pick this year, Florida's third-round pick this year, which the Rangers had previously acquired, and a conditional second-round pick in 2014. If Klo re-signs with the Rangers or the team wins two playoff rounds, the Rangers retain the 2014 second-round pick. And if neither occurs, the pick becomes the Rangers' fifth-round pick in 2014. So a lot of that will depend on how the Rangers do and on whether or not he re-signs with the Rangers. So that's all yet to be seen over the next 6 months, I guess.
Oh, okay. So I didn't even realize one of the picks that's in the deal was the pick from Florida that they got from Florida. Okay.
Right, the third-round pick the Rangers acquired from Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a conditional pick. Kenny, this is Eddie here. With the Rangers being 30th in scoring, I think a lot of the fans are a little bit miffed at this signing. Do you think this signing is something that they're looking for in the short term, or possibly maybe thinking that Klo can fit better once the season is done, because you know, he's got zero goals, and I don't know if you heard before, I'm a little bit concerned that San Jose was looking to dump him down the playoff stretch.
Well, he's an unrestricted free agent, so I think what you see with the number of teams and players is they want to try to get something for a player, even if they think he can help them down the stretch. San Jose was probably concerned about close signing elsewhere in the offseason, and then they get nothing for him. So at least this way they get some draft picks back.
And where do you see him fitting in with the Rangers? Do you see him being in on the second line, third line player?
You know, it just from, you know, reading a little bit about him the last few days, my guess would be that he's probably a guy that you slot in on the third line but could move up and play second line minutes at times. So that's just a guess, but I would think he's a guy, like I said, who you would probably slot in on the third line, but you could move up at times.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly got some grit. He's a guy that, you know, likes to mix it up. He's probably that type of player that the Rangers haven't had since Brandon Prust's departure. So it could help to jumpstart them, and hopefully he can regain his offensive prowess, because he certainly has scored in this league before. And, you know, I'm hoping that it works out, because right now, you know, the Rangers have a plethora of problems and everywhere. Do you see the win over Winnipeg as possibly a good starting point for them to, you know, make a run here?
Well, you know, you have to keep in mind it was only one game, but there were certainly a lot of positives to take out of it. I thought Ryan McDonagh played one of his best games of the season. Obviously, the top line with Callahan, Stepan, and Nash had a terrific game. I thought Matt Zuccarello did some really good things. You know, there's been so much focus on the three penalties he took in the second period, but remember, the Rangers killed off all three, and he comes out of the box and sets up Callahan for the shorthanded goal. So they actually made a positive out of that. So, you know, two of the last four games, they've scored. The Philly game, they scored five, and the Winnipeg game, they scored four. The next two obviously won't be easy, the home-and-home series with Pittsburgh, but 13 games left, and right now they're in that eighth spot and challenging for the seventh spot. So I think you have to look up and not down. You know, look at the teams above you, and you know, as long as you win your games, then the teams below you cannot catch you.
Yeah, and that's certainly. But the Rangers have such a tough road to hoe. We got the Rangers have the home and home against Pittsburgh. Now, albeit it's without Letang and Crosby, and you know, I think the Rangers have a I really saw some good things out of the Winnipeg game. What is going on with Marion Gaborik and Brad Richards? What's your assessment of them? And furthermore, with Gaborik, is it a contentious relationship with Tortorella that's kind of affecting his play?
No, I don't think so at all. I think Tortorella is a big fan of Gaborik. If you listen to some of Tortorella's quotes over the last week, you know, he's talked about all the chances that Gaborik's been getting, and he was asked about him, I think it was in Ottawa, and Tortorella said, hey, look, this is a guy who's scored 40 goals for us two of the last 3 years, and he scored some big goals this year. You know, he only has nine, but he has two overtime goals. So, you know, just look at where the Rangers would be if he doesn't score those two overtime goals, and they wind up losing those games in overtime or in the shootout to Boston and the Islanders. So, you know, I think he's played really well the last three or four games. He had a couple of breakaways. Obviously, he didn't score, and had three or four excellent scoring chances last night. So I'm a Gaborik fan, and I think the coach is too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he certainly has gotten more chances. What about Brad Richards? You know, he a couple weeks ago he said that he was felt confused and lost out there. Where is his psyche, and where is his mental? Or in your assessment, what do you think has been wrong with his play, or, you know, what hasn't been happening out there?
Well, again, you know, I read those quotes, you know, over the last couple of weeks, and he's a guy that's very hard on himself, you know, wants to help this team so badly. And, again, I think he's picked up his game the last couple, you know, playing on the line with Gaborik and Zuccarello. They really seem to have some jump these last two games. And I know Richards is starting to pick up some points now. I think he has four in the last five games. So he's a key guy. I mean, you think back to last year, and he had his ups and downs over the first 4 or 5 months of the season, and then had a really strong month of March, and then had some key moments in the playoffs. So the Rangers would certainly take that again as we enter the last month of the regular season, because, you know, it was March last year, now it's April, but as far as the schedule goes, it was right around this time with 13, 14 games left when Richards picked up his game last year.
That's a good point. Kenny's making me feel better about all this, Eddie.
Well, you know, I'm not going to guarantee a Stanley Cup. There are some pretty good teams in the conference when you look at Pittsburgh, Boston, and Montreal. But, you know, I think, you know, the glass is certainly not as empty as some of the fans that I've talked to over the last few days. You know, you look at the worry level of the fans, and obviously they come out and score four goals and win the game last night. You know, it's such a bizarre season, the shortened season. You know, think about it this way. If this is an 82-game season, they've only played 35 games, and they have a lot of time to turn things around. You know, now obviously you don't have that much time, and the playoffs are going to be here in less than a month, and you know, they've had to suffer through, you know, obviously the Mark Stahl injury and some of their top players having their ups and downs, as we've talked about. But, you know, I think there are definitely some positives as well. You look at Callahan's game last night. You look at how Stepan's played over the last 3 weeks, and Rick Nash continues to score big goals now with 10 of his 13 in the third period. And McDonough, you know, excellent last night. Girardi played big minutes. So there are some positives to look at as well.
What's the latest on Mark Stahl?
Don't know. You know, we talked to his brothers, Jordan and Eric, when Carolina came in about a week and a half ago, and hopefully we'll get an update from those guys on Saturday. But really have not heard anything as far as Mark's condition or his progress.
Okay. Now,
is it primarily a vision problem? Is it structural? Like, you know, a broken bone in there? Any idea?
No. Wish I could tell you. Really have no idea.
That's interesting. In your mind, why has this team been so inconsistent this year? I mean, they've played, I think they've played more bad games in this shortened season than the 35 games than they did all last year. What in your mind is the key to that?
Again, wish I had an answer. John Tortorella was asked a similar question yesterday about the goal scoring, about the fact that the team's ranked 30th in the league in goals, and he said, I wish I had an answer for you. We're working on it every day. I was up at practice today, and, you know, he said the same thing. So, you know, like I said, I think it's magnified because it's a short season. If it's an 82-game season and they go through this stretch where they're shut out twice in games 33 and 34, it's not as big a deal as it is in a 48-game season. So, you know, stretch run coming up. They have five home games left, eight road games, and you know, I think once you get through this this back-to-back with Pittsburgh, I don't want to say the schedule gets any easier, but you start playing some of the teams that are right around you in the standings: Carolina, Toronto, Islanders, Philly, Florida, Buffalo. So, you know, once these two games with Pittsburgh are in the rearview mirror, you're done with those top three or four teams in the conference. You're done with Pittsburgh, done with Boston, done with Montreal. So it's a big two games coming up, and you know, like you said, the Penguins are missing some key players in Crosby and Letang. Plus, they play tonight, so the Rangers get them on the second of a back-to-back.
Yeah, I think that's key, that the Rangers get them on that, which a lot of teams have had trouble on that second back-to-back. So, you know, hopefully they can get it turned around. I mean, you know, and I think they've got a good chance. I mean, you know, listen, you never know. And like you said, they're done with those teams that have been giving them fits and starts. They've got some games coming up against Toronto. They can make up some points there.
Yeah, I mean, done with Pittsburgh, Boston, and Montreal. Done with Ottawa as well, the team above them that's
right,
giving them problems. So, you know, you're getting into that portion of the schedule where you're playing the teams that are either 3 or 4 points ahead of you or you know, 3 or 4 points behind you.
And the Hurricanes playing with a third-string goalie and Justin Peters. I mean, they've got some windows to get things going. I wanted to ask you just about Henrik Lundqvist and the kind of frustration he seems to be having with the defense and clearing the net. Has he articulated that to you at all?
Well, first of all, I think he's had a great season. When you look at his numbers, his goals against average and save percentage are right around his career numbers. So, you know, in reading some of his quotes, there does seem to be a little bit of frustration with the team, you know, not scoring goals. Because Henrik, you know, once he gives up the second or third goal in the game, the Rangers, you know, aside from a couple of occasions, don't score four or five. So, you know, although we have seen it twice in the last week. And I know he talked about a week and a half ago about setting up shop in front of the net, that he felt the opponents were having success doing that and the Rangers weren't necessarily on the other end. You know, the thing I look at is that they have not drawn a lot of power plays.
Right.
You know, I think that's an area. The Rangers are last in the league in penalties taken. They've taken the fewest penalties in the league. But if you look at their recent games, they only had one power play against Winnipeg. They had one power play against Montreal. Now, they did have four in Ottawa, but before that, three in Philly, two against Washington, 3-2, 3-2, 1-1, 2-2 in the games before that. So in the last 13 games, they've had more than three power plays once. So I think that's also going to be a key down the stretch, because remember, the power play was scoring some goals. They went through a stretch where they scored a power play goal in
five out of six games. Perhaps a guy like Ryan Klo can help with that, a guy who'll get something off the cycle.
And I think Zuccarello playing the point. You know, we've only seen it twice now because they had just one power play in Montreal, one yesterday. But I think he's been very effective in the limited time playing the point. He's such a good passer. He sees the game better than almost, you know, 80% of the guys in the league, I would say. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. When you look at some of the passes he makes, I think he's going to help, in my mind, a little more than some people might expect.
You know, I think part of the reason you guys were talking about it on the during the game last night, Kenny, is the Rangers they don't seem to have the puck enough, which is a reason why they're not drawing enough penalties, I think.
Right. They didn't in the first period last night, but then
right.
After that they did. You know, whatever adjustments they made, I think at one point in the second period they were out shooting Winnipeg 11-1, so that was a bit of a reversal from the first period and from the Montreal game.
Right, right. So, you know, it's and that's been a problem in a lot of the games, especially, you know, lately as they go through this stretch. You know, they just can't seem to get a hold of the puck.
Yeah, I mean, I think puck possession has been a problem all year. I mean, it really has. I mean, they do have that odd period where they get a lot of shots on net, but the bad starts are really what's put them in behind.
Right, and you know, they were taking early penalties. They went nine straight games taking the first penalty, which wasn't good, and now three of the last four, the opponent's taken the first penalty, so that's helped out a little bit. And you know, obviously they scored the first goal last night, 19 seconds in, and they wind up giving up a goal on Winnipeg's first shot. But I think the starts are the key. You know, this team looks a lot different when they take a 1-0 lead as opposed to when they fall behind 1-0 in games.
Did you give a stat during the game last night that it was six games in a row they've given up a power play goal as well?
Until last night it was.
Until last night.
They had given up a power play goal in six straight, and then they killed off 5 of 5 last night.
Okay.
I know a lot of Ranger fans are trying to attribute that to the departure of Jeff Halpern. I don't know. I don't know if you buy into that. I really don't. I mean, I think the Rangers, you know, with Powell and other guys have, you know, pretty good penalty killing. I think it was just
right. I mean, yeah, Halpern was a good penalty killer and did play on the penalty kill with Powell, but, you know, they certainly weren't the first unit. They used other guys, Stepan, Callahan. You know, we've even seen a little bit of Rick Nash, Brian Boyle. So, you know, it's one of those things that goes in spurts, and I thought the penalty kill was real good last night, killing off all five.
Yeah, they look very good. I would be remiss, Mr. Albert, if I may go with Mr. Albert, if I didn't talk about the JT Miller, Chris Kreider situation. JT, great young guy, certainly very green. He does make, I think, in my opinion, quite a lot of mistakes out there. He seems to, you know, have endeared himself to the coach. But Chris Kreider, not so much. What do you think in the coaches, from your observations, why?
Well, I think it's two young guys who have big futures with the team and in the National Hockey League. And I think Tortorella really looks at it game to game. You know, I don't think he looks past the next game or past the next shift or the next period And there were a couple of games, you know, recently where Kreider played 15, 18 minutes and played well. And, you know, we saw him on the second line for a couple of games. But, you know, obviously moving bodies around last night, he winds up playing only 3 minutes. JT Miller plays only 8 minutes. And it's getting down to crunch time. You know, Tortorella said it after the game. You know, not a lot of games left. And you have to have that complete trust in the young guys. So if Miller or Kreider comes out tomorrow and has a real good first couple of shifts, you know, they might play 15, 18 minutes a game, but it's really a game-to-game thing. It'll be interesting to see what the roster looks like if Klo makes it into New York. I'm not sure what his travel situation is. And there was another young forward at practice today. Jesper Fast skated with the team, and I had a chance to talk to him after practice, most importantly to ask him how he pronounces his name, and it is Jesper Fast. In case you guys were wondering.
Jesper.
Jesper,
wow.
Even though it's spelled with a J, it's pronounced Jesper.
Jesper wow. Foss.
And he's the guy who shortened his name. It was Foss.
Right, he told me that in Sweden, they use the H at the end of the last name, but for some reason it's never been on his passport. So when he's over here in North America, it's spelled F-A-S-T.
See, I thought he was just doing it as a marketing thing. He's fast. You know,
he didn't explain it to me that way, and he's not represented by Jay-Z either.
Jesper Fast. We're going to have to
Jesper.
That's going to take some getting
Jesper
used to.
Jesper Fast.
Jesper Fast. Okay.
Well,
that's it.
I mean, did you see him at practice? I mean, I've heard nothing but great things about this kid. Just fast.
You know, I was up there. I got there a little bit late, so I didn't see too much. He was out on the ice. But in talking with Pierre Maguire last week, who's seen him play on a number of occasions, Pierre thinks he's going to be a real good player. He's a big fan, so I take Pierre at his word.
He's going to have more pronunciations to his name than Casper Dogovins.
Dogovins, an easy one. Jesper Fast.
Very good. Well, you know, I'm not excited. Is he going to be now, I heard there's some kind of is he going to be available in the playoffs if the Rangers do sneak in?
He's under contract, so to my knowledge, he can be added to the roster. He signed a contract over the summer.
That.
Now, whether he goes to Hartford or stays here is yet to be determined. And once the trade deadline passes, you have basically an unlimited roster. You can keep more than 23 guys around. So, again, when Tortorella was asked the question today, he wasn't sure yet what the protocol is going to be, but they at least wanted to see him practice with the team and get acclimated. He was at the game last night. It was his first trip to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, John never seems to be too up to date with the new guys that kind of come in. So,
I'm sure he knows a lot more than he shares with me, but
there have been a lot of changes this year, a lot of influx of new players, and everybody's getting a look, and so the Rangers scramble to make the playoffs. I have to ask you because I know you're in the know. You're Ranger fans really love you. I'm telling you, you're like this generation's Jim Gordon. I mean, this is how much you're beloved.
Well, I appreciate it.
He's this generation's Marv. Right?
Now that I've done the schmooze, I have to ask. For my own edification, why does Dan Girardi and Brian Boyle play on the power play? Has anyone asked John Tortorella this question?
Well, I think in Boyle's case, you put the big body in front of the net to screen the goalie and try to get deflections. He's not out there on the first power play, and he usually comes out on the second unit. With regard to Girardi, you know, the Rangers don't really have that big shot from the point. You know, you look at Winnipeg, who came in last night, and they have Enstrom, and they have Bufflin, and they have Bogosian, and these guys can fire the puck. And John Tortorella even made reference to it today. He said, I usually don't like to make comparisons to other teams, but Winnipeg really has some guys that can shoot the puck on the back end. So I think what we see with the Rangers is obviously Delzato on the first unit, and then one of the forwards, whether it's Richards, Gavrik, Stepan, now Zuccarello, and then usually on the second unit, it's some combination of McDonough, Strawman, and Girardi. So, you know, I don't think Girardi's a guy who's going to score 10 power play goals in a season, but he can fire the puck. Remember, he scored some big goals in the playoffs, scored some winners, so he does have a pretty good slap shot.
I have all the respect for you in the world, but no. Dan Girardi has no power play. Dan Girardi can barely get the puck to the net. I'm sorry. I love Dan Girardi for all that he brings. But
you liked him when he scored that game winner against Washington last night.
I certainly did. I certainly loved him. I would have went to his house and babysit his kids after that. But no. But listen, these little things drive us fans crazy. I just had to ask you. Thank you for indulging me in my and the Jesper Fats thing. I'm all excited about this, pronouncing this guy's name. So we got some international flavor, Kenny, with Zuccarello's reemergence. We got Fast. Is John Tortorella going to be able to handle all this, non-jam, non-cowboy, non-grit? Is he going to be able to handle this?
Well, I'm sure he's scratching out potential line combinations on napkins right now, with the Klo acquisition. But I love Zuccarello. The guy has fun, first of all. He's always smiling, and his teammates love him. And, we showed up in Ottawa the other day, and there he is waiting in the lobby, so... he's played some good minutes, 18 minutes, 17 minutes the last two games. So he's certainly gotten a big chance.
It's a good thing they got that 2-on-1 goal after he came out of the box on last night, because I thought Tortorella was going to commit a hobbit side after the three penalties in one period.
Yeah, it's amazing. Isn't it amazing that the diminutive Matt Zuccarello gets called for two high sticking penalties in one period?
And I love that adjective. Diminutive. The first time I ever heard that was the Flyers had a goalie named Robbie Moore.
Yep.
And he was known as the diminutive Robbie Moore. Well, Kenny, I thank you for joining us, man. We had a blast here. And thanks for, taking and putting up with me. Really.
Well, it's always always fun to join you guys. And I'll leave you with this. The Rangers officially announced the move. I told you that San Jose officially announced it. And here's the quote from Glenn Sather. We are extremely pleased to be able to acquire Ryan. He is a unique combination of size, skill, and toughness. His strong leadership and character make him a tremendous addition to our organization on and off the ice. So there's the official statement from the Rangers.
Really?
All right, well, there you have it. Kenny, before we let you go, this was one of our fans, our listeners, requested this. Now, even though we are a Rangers show, we are a house divided here when it comes to football. One of us is a Giants fan, and one of us is not. And one of your best calls ever, Kenny, has been played over and over on our football show. So I'm going to hit you with this before we let you go.
You got to get some positive yards here just so you can punt the ball from a normal distance.
Manning on 3rd and 10. He fires, and the catch is made by Cruz, who breaks free. One man to beat. Victor Cruz down the sideline. Cruz is going to take it all the way, tying an NFL record, 99 yards from Manning to Cruz.
Kenny, that's my favorite. It's one of my favorite calls of all time.
I haven't heard that call in a while, and I hadn't noticed this before, but Moose Johnston, my partner, right before the play, as I just heard, said, well, maybe they'll get some positive yardage here so they can punt it away. Well, I think they got some positive yardage.
Yeah, they got a couple. We always talked about it, and if Eddie had to hang up, he had to call back in, but I just don't think he wanted to hear that again. But I think
that was a memorable game. Memorable game last December.
So, well, Kenny, thank you again for joining us. And now I went back and listened the last time you were on with us. We asked you to come back if the Rangers made the finals, then we all know what happened. So we're not going to ask you that again. We're just saying maybe you come back and see us again and chat with us if they get into the playoffs.
Well, anytime. Make sure to get in touch. And, 13 games left. Should be a fun run. And it all starts tomorrow night against Pittsburgh. We'll see if they have any more moves up their sleeves, but hope to talk to you guys again soon.
Thanks, Kenny. We appreciate it. Take care.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye. All right. There you have it. Kenny Albert joining us. Eddie jumped off. I don't know if I think he's having a little connection issues tonight, but the minute I started playing that clip, Eddie disappeared. So there you have it, Kenny Albert. Some good thoughts on just about everything that's going on. And hopefully the Rangers get into the playoffs and we'll get to talk to him again. So, and you heard it here first. The deal is official for Ryan Clough. I don't know if maybe he'll join the Rangers tomorrow night against Pittsburgh. We'll see what's going on. If not, or I don't know. I don't remember if they're home tomorrow night or if they're home Thursday night. But hopefully one of these games in Pittsburgh, we'll get a look at Ryan Clough. Phone call 646-478-4692. I see the chat room is packed. Thank you all for being here. A lot of people we haven't seen lately. Stephanie Lynn, T. Bassler, Mandar's back 2 weeks in a row. Nice to see you. Lots of guests. All our regulars are here. Dig Deep is here. He's joined us. Nice to see you. Gina, we haven't seen you in a while. So nice to see everybody. We'll get to the phone calls in just a second. Actually, I think I see Stan's on hold. We'll talk to Stan in just a minute, see if Eddie's going to call back in. I don't know. Now I'm worried. Now we have to send out a search party to Ronkonkoma, St. Bernard, with a barrel of brandy for him. But we'll talk to Stan before we'll see if Eddie comes back. Stan, good evening. How are you?
Hello there.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. How'd you like Kenny Albert?
Oh, Kenny's great. He's almost as good as his dad, who's the all-time number one.
Yeah. Marv was great. I really enjoy listening to Kenny and Dave on the radio. I don't know. Do you get to listen to them on the radio much? Or
I would, but what usually happens is that the radio and the TV aren't synced up.
Right.
So the one's ahead of the other. So kind of, you know, it's a little disconcerting.
It's hard to sync them up. Yeah, I had to do that last year during the playoffs because of my dislike for Doc Emrick. But they really call a very good game. Dave is very, to his credit, he's very critical of the team when he needs to be. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't shy away from criticizing them. You know, he doesn't just kiss the tuchus to the other team. You know, when things are going bad for the Rangers, Dave will tell it like it is.
Yeah, Dave's good, but he's no red light.
yeah, I grew up.
Marvin Red Light were the best ever.
Oh, they had great chemistry. Great chemistry. Marv used to ride him something awful,
mm-hmm.
among others.
Right.
So what's your thoughts on the trade?
You know, I'm sure Clough can help them. It's kind of hard for me to understand how you give up 3 picks for a guy who has no goals. I mean, that seems like a pretty steep price. You know,
yeah, but, you know, again, this is it's a guy that can score some goals. Hopefully he's just been battling this shoulder injury and watching the guys on the NHL Network, they seem to like the deal, and the consensus is that Clough will get scoring again. I certainly hope so. We've got enough guys on this team with no goals.
Yeah. I think the Rangers are going to have to move somebody tomorrow because they seem a little packed right now. They got to get rid of Sowry, and I think they have to get rid of at least one. Somebody's going to have to be waived or traded. Maybe even your pal Brian Boyle.
Oh.
Maybe they can get a bag of pucks for him. Some used jockstraps.
Eddie, are you back?
Oh, my God. Yes,
everything
I am
all right
back.
Right over there?
Oh, yeah. This is the Sfakakta modem over here. It's ridiculous. Oh.
Okay. Well, Kenny said he enjoyed himself, thanked us. He liked the Victor Cruz call, and he said he hadn't heard that in a while and didn't realize. He said he'd forgotten that Moose Johnson says in the beginning of that call that they were just looking to get positive yards so they could punt.
So he'll remind him next time he sees him, right?
Yeah. So welcome back. Stan and I were just discussing the trade.
Clough acquisition?
Yes. So Stan's concerned about trading the draft picks for a guy with no goals.
Well, I think his hesitation and his bad feelings about that might be warranted. I mean, like I said at the top of the broadcast, we don't do very well with the guys that are kind of on the reclamation projects, again. And I'm concerned is why is San Jose getting rid of this guy? I know he's a UFA, but this guy is a playoff demon. I mean, he's a great player in the playoffs. And why are you getting rid of him? I don't know. So,
well, we'll find out soon enough. I mean, exactly. This guy could play, you know, like 12 games for them, for God's sakes, and could be gone.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't turn out too well.
He could be another Rob DeMaio.
What's that?
He could be another Rob DeMaio. We don't know.
Well, he's pulled these out of the hat. The thing that concerned me with the team, and I have no explanation for it, is that with the exception of only a couple of games, every first period this team plays, they don't show up. Even when they score the first goal in a period, they end up behind by the end of the first period, like last night.
How much of that do you guys put on Tortorella, or how much do you put on the players for that?
You know, fans always seem to blame coaches and managers. I mean, Tortorella doesn't tell them before the first period, guys, go out there, take it easy, just get through. It's on the players.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you show up? When they drop the puck, why do you, go through three shots in the first period, like every game?
Well, it was like Kenny said, Kenny mentioned, the other team, we take the first penalty, we're down the first goal. I mean, it's a tough road to hoe for the Rangers. I don't know why. I really don't. Is it bad luck?
No, it's not that much. one game here, one game there. Not every single game it's bad luck. There's something going on with this team that, under the radar that's affecting them.
It's the worst because I can't get any answers. I asked Rick Carpinello last week, what's going on? I asked Kenny Albin. I can't get any answers, man.
It's hard to say. I mean, they don't know. How can you explain why this team, at the start of a game, doesn't show up for 20 minutes?
Nash had a goal last night, and he hadn't played all that well, I think, in the games before that. Do you guys think, I think that he was a little bit hurt on that slash he got in the Philly game a week ago. I think that might have affected his play because he was kind of a non-entity in the last that one game. He had no shots on goal a couple games ago, which for him is like crazy. And one thing I didn't ask, what's going on with Girardi and McDonough? I know McDonough, but McDonough, he's been wildly inconsistent, and Girardi at times has looked like, holy cow. Now, listen, I don't want to make it look like I got a vendetta against Dan Girardi, but they don't clear that front of the net for nothing. I mean, look at on the power play. I know it's a power play, but Nick Antropov is just standing there all alone.
Well, that was Hamelick and Eminger.
I mean, really.
I was thinking they would have bring up McElrath. One thing he'll do is clear the front of the net. I mean, he'll punch a guy right in the face to get him out of there.
That's how he usually does it.
I mean, he'll get a penalty, but he'll clear the front of the net.
They need to get back that reputation that they had last year. Nobody in front of – no one touches Lundqvist, this and that. And, McElrath might be the answer this season. Next season, I don't think he's going to be brought up. It'll be interesting, Stan. Where are you? Do you think we got a shot at making the playoffs, or is this thing?
They have a shot, but I mean, they're so inconsistent.
Can you believe we're talking about this?
And then they stink. I mean, it's amazing. They got at least split with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I believe that too. It was like a month and a half ago. I was like, well, the Rangers, let's hopefully they make the playoffs. And Stan was like, they got to make the playoffs. Our expectations went from we're going to hoist the cup possibly to we might not make the playoffs.
I think they might win the cup to I sure hope they get in the playoffs so that Columbus doesn't get that pick.
Yeah.
Columbus is – can you imagine Columbus making the playoffs and we don't? What do you think Nash will feel like?
Right. Right.
I think he's cursed.
Anyway. All right, Stan, anything else?
Just keep me on hold.
Oh, what's the matter? Blog Talk not working right for you?
No, it hasn't worked in 2 years.
I refuse. All right, Stan, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, bye.
All right, bye.
Like Brian Boyle.
Yeah, exactly like Brian Boyle.
Doesn't work.
I'm gonna, I have usually during the games and and well, during the day as well. I have like a, we have a group chat that goes on the phone with Justin and Keith McElroy and the great Nick Tertilli out here in Arizona, and we just go back and forth all day long about all kinds of things. We were talking about how there's when you hear, and I think we've talked about this on the show, when you hear the Rangers made a trade, how there's this panic that sets in. Oh my God, who or what is going the other way? You know, and it's like, you know, you want to hold hands, you know, brace yourselves. Here it comes, you know. You sit there. All right, they made a deal. They're getting Klo, but what did they trade? What did they get rid of?
It's well, because it's Glenn Sather.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you don't. And there's always, you know, it's like watching Lost. You know, they'll never just tell you, okay, the trade is done, and here's what. It's always the Rangers have made a trade, and they've picked up Rick Nash. The rest of the deal will be announced in 3 hours. And, you know, you got to sit there and wait and find out, is Jack getting off the island? Is Hurley going? What are we doing with this team? It's crazy. Yeah, you know, Dickie's got it. Rangers make a trade. Please, Christ, don't let Stepan be going the other way.
Stepan for Klo, straight up. Yeah, it's certainly, you guys know, I mean, the trials and tribulations and adventures of being a Ranger fan, it's none other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's heart-wrenching, every move. And I agree with Stan, they've got to get at least one, and I'm hopefully they jump on Pittsburgh tomorrow. Nolan Tang, Crosby, who's got the broken face there, the broken jaw. JD would say. So, you know, hopefully the Rangers can surprise us. Listen, they certainly have the parts. It's just, that, you know, wake up. I mean, if that's what it is. Just wake up. I mean, zombie Brad Richards, is there some kind of antidote we can give this guy? You know, how they bring him back to life? What was that movie with it? The guy falls in love with a girl. He's a zombie. It was out in the movies. And stuff. Well, can't something like somebody fall in love with him? Maybe that, what was that name? Olivia Munn? Can she come back into the picture and wake him up?
By the way, this just in on Twitter from Will Kunkel. Love the show. Eddie cracked me up with his outrage of Boyle and Girardi on the power play, as it should.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want – like Kenny Albert, he's the man, he's a professional, he's a guy, but if you don't notice that Dan Girardi is out there on the first power play unit, which primarily he is
– And so was Boyle the other night.
So was Boyle, but no, listen, he's a guest. He's a guest in our house. We treat him with –
Exactly.
Basically, we're kiss asses who will agree with him everything. But I certainly could not. I couldn't contain it. I've been yelling for weeks. I had to voice it because I've been yelling at Sam and Micheletti. You know, they're not listening. By the way, those clowns. Did you see last night on the Zuccarello penalty with the closing the hand on the puck? They're going penalty against Winnipeg. And it was really against the Rangers and Zuccarello. And then as they went to commercial, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you start hearing the music. Micheletti blurts out, Rangers! And then it goes to commercial. Because he was trying to get it. What?
I'm trying to think. Let's see. They played Winnipeg last night, so I was watching. I watched the game on MSG. And before that was Montreal. That game was on Hockey Night in Canada, so I watched hockey. So I only had Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh.
And who was before that? Who was before the Montreal game? Who did they play? Who was right before Montreal?
Oh, that was it. Ottawa? No,
Ottawa. Yes, it was Ottawa.
Yeah, Ben Bishop, the Ben Bishop show.
Right. The Rangers were killing off a penalty. And it was like a minute. It was just like the thing the clip you pulled. They were a minute and 45 seconds into the penalty kill before Sam announced who the penalty was on.
Oh, man.
It was just crazy. It's just insanity.
Well, get ready. Tomorrow's the Bo Bennett show.
Yeah, Bo Bennett.
Bo Bennett. Bo.
Yeah.
Get ready. Every time you hear Bo Bennett's name call tomorrow, I'll be throwing something at the TV, folks.
So
you'll hear him more than Kunitz, more than Ginla, more than Neil. No, it's going to be Bo Bennett.
The Hockey Night in Canada feed wasn't bad the other night, even though it was, you know, against Montreal. It wasn't their top. I don't think it was their one of their top teams. It was somebody in Gary Galley, I think. Maybe Cutter can clue me in on who the broadcasting teams are. But it wasn't their big one of their big crews. But they were okay. They were okay. Except the guy kept calling Derek Stepan. Kept calling him Stepan.
Oh, come on, Stepan. Step and fetch it? Step and fetch it. I'm a little racist, those kids.
Yes, that is.
Those
that
kids are racist.
Cutter's got it. It was Mark Lee. Thank you, Cutter. Appreciate it. Jim Houston, I like. When Jim Houston does the games, makes me think I'm playing NHL 97. Because he was the guy that did the play by play on those old EA Sports NHL games.
Nice. So what else we got? We got
Robin.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are you feeling? What do you think? You seem to think Girardi is hurt. You've mentioned that to me and on the Facebook group. I got to tell you, that Facebook group, lovely bunch of humans. Let me tell you.
It's Lord of the Fucking Flies is what it is. I mean, that is just a microcosm of this fan base. That's just a, you know, if the Ranger fan base is 10 million people, then, you know, that is, I'd have to sit and do math, which would really hurt. But, I mean, we're talking about 950 people out of the fan base, out of a 10 million whatever fan base. But it is a perfect micro. The minute they lose, everybody hates everybody. Everybody wants everybody fired. We hate each other. It's Lord of the Flies. I don't even remember Tubby. What were the kids' names? Lord of the Flies. I don't even remember. I don't know. It's fucking Game of Thrones. There. You want that better? They turn on each other. They hate Nash. They hate Gabrick. You know, fuck
Piggy.
You suck.
Somebody
who
read a book. B-23 Blue Pain is the only guy who read the book.
Piggy.
Well, the thing is the blatant disrespect. I mean, I can understand. You got a passionate view. Go in there, rip your player apart, rip the guy you're talking apart. But the person you're arguing with, do not call him out to a fist fight in the back alley. Let's scrap it up. Do you realize how stupid you look? When you write like stuff like, you know nothing about hockey, I know more than you, don't you know that's been done a billion times on the interwebs? And it's really just makes you look stupid. When you start going, you're gay. I mean, what are we in, sixth grade? I mean, come on.
Perpetrators of that is our old friend Ricky Itazu.
Yeah, well, he comes
if
in.
Somebody
likes...
wants to argue. Oh, come on down! I'll fight you. It's like,
yeah,
it's like,
well, you know, he's sick. He's sick of the internet's tough guys. And listen, I understand that, but you know, I know Ricky, so I give him some slack. But when you get these new people come back, listen, with seniority comes a little bit of leeway. But when I got some 20-year-old kid coming in here and everything is taught sucks, do you get tired of writing taught sucks in every post? I think you're just trying to rile everybody up. We certainly know the guy sucks. I think 50% or more of this fan base wants this guy out of here. I mean, so you're not really enlightening me. I want the page to be fun. I want just like this show. And you got these jerk-offs, they come in, and I got to go read through their threads to find out, you know, is he making a good point? And so, I had enough. But enough with that. You know, that's all negative shit. This is all about, what are your poly positives, at least for now. So, you know, I know that Kenny said that Gabrick is playing better. I know the fact that Sam and Joe are trying to will that Gabrick is playing better. Oh, I love the good shift there by Gabrick. Bottom line is Gabby's got to score. And for God's sakes, is Daryl Powell ever going to score again? Taylor Pyatt. I mean, he's all hunched over. He's slow.
Pisey.
Pisey is an abomination. He had a first good 2 weeks, and the rest was over. I mean, they got. I don't know how they expect to win. I mean, you know, listen, I sit here and I try to be positive, but then I start thinking of the bottom six. It's horrible.
He had. You know, he had almost the exact same start to his Ranger career that Aaron Voros had. Scored a couple of quick goals in his first couple of games. Everybody fell in love with him. Isn't he great? This guy's going to be great. What a move! And then all of a sudden, they realized,
like,
oh, wait a minute. He can't skate. He can't shoot. He can't score.
He looks like he's hunched over like Igor, like from Young Frankenstein there, Marty Feldman. He can't skate. He looks, I mean, he's so slow. I can see him and Boyle out there. Listen, Powell's a good penalty killer, but he's never going to score. How can you have six guys that are never going to score? Like I mentioned, JT Miller, hey, I love your upside. I love that you won a World Jet. Yeah, didn't score a goal in March. You didn't have a point in the whole month. How many months of this season do you think there are in this short season? You can't go a month without scoring.
Probably not.
No. And expect to win. And you can't have the guys you're relying on all suck as well. Thank God for Rick Nash and Stepan. And even Hagelin has kind of waned a little bit. And, you know... And I thought Zuccarello, like with the bad connection I had, it sounded like a speaking spell over here when I'm trying to listen every time Kenny talked. I kept hanging up. I was like, what is this? But I don't know. Did he talk about Zuccarello at all? Did he mention Zuccarello?
Well, he said he likes Zuccarello. He has a lot of fun on the ice and always a smile on his face. He's a big fan of Zuccarello.
Well, he doesn't belong on this team. If he's got that smile's going to disappear playing for Captain Brownie over there,
Mr. Slate,
Mr. Slate, you know, Stone Age,
the Great Gazoo,
Brownie the Clown,
Zuccarello's the Great Gazoo,
Dum Dum,
hello Dum Dum. By the way, speaking of Jesper, what is it? Jesper Fast? Is that his name?
Jesper Fast.
Speaking of him,
as
correctly predicted in our Facebook group a week ago, who was he skating with at practice today? Brian Boyle. Like Bugs Bunny and that tortoise.
Yeah, do the voice.
Oh, yep. Where are you going, Speedy? you must have been in an awful hurry. Yep. Look at that Jesper Fast go. I'm telling you, I must have been doing 100 easy. Would you say that again? I said I must have been doing 100 easy. Okay, officer. Do your duty. Hello, Cecil.
Oh God! I got Taylor, not so swift pie with him too. Like boiling. Come on! Again, it's the same thing I've been bitching about. I'm gonna say bitching about just his inability as a GM to add the nuances is what kills him. Listen, I bow down to you for getting Ryan McDonough, get rid of Gomez and the contract to get McDonough for free as a throw-in and some of the other UFA. But you are really the master of the obvious. the number one free agent out there you continually go after and throw way too many years at in order to get him here. I love that you got Brad Richards here. I love that you made a good deal to get Nash here. But really, you have no clue in adding the role players. How many times have we seen with just the basic role player that you can find, which is a goon? This guy has screwed that up. And I don't care what Mario Mercado says about the great Glenn Sather and he's brought us the kids and this and that. He continually makes these mistakes over and over again. And you've got to look at his overall work, and it's a failure. It's a failure. I like that the Rangers are younger, but this coach, I mean, this GM, and this is the Tortorella's defense, and you might not like it. Who could win with these morons? I mean, really, look at the top six. I know this guy can't make a line combination for crap. I know he makes poor decisions according to us fans, but really, how are you going to win when the guy says, you know, I got a Taylor Pyatt for you? He should fill in nicely, you know? I mean, I was hearing all good things about Taylor Pyatt and this and that. And, well, everybody's telling me in the preseason how great the Rangers look and camp. And meanwhile, now we're battling with the Islanders for a playoff position. So, you know, it's a whole thing. It's not just one thing. It's responsibility. He's got to go to the players. Responsibility's got to go to the coach and the GM. Three things. It's not one. That's the way I look at it. Tortorella, in my opinion, I've seen it. I've seen the act. I've seen what he does. And it's just going forward, I don't see it as being a productive thing. I've seen his style, and I've had enough. I'm ready to move on. And everybody says, oh, Matt. Who are we going to get? I don't care if it's Lloyd Lindsey Ruff. I don't care if
hello!
We got it.
Oh, Glenn Sather.
I don't care if it's Doug Waite. I don't care if it's Doug Henning. Whatever.
Never understand. That was Paulie D's argument for not firing Glenn Sather. I'm afraid they're going to get somebody worse. I don't get that logic. Well, there's nobody better out there, so I don't know. So you keep the guy because you know I don't quite understand that logic. I'm afraid
that goes back to your fear of the unknown with the trades and what did we give up? You're waiting for something worse, like you know they hire a blind monkey. Good job. I mean, I don't know.
He's
the PR guy. Yeah, I could wind up with Rich Kotite, like Mandar says. You never know. But somebody's got to be able to. And listen, they had a great year last year, and I really thought they were ready to take the next step. I just don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened, Jim. I just know that they can't fix things. When things go bad, they can't fix it. And some teams can fix it. Look at Ottawa. They lost Spezza. They lost Erik Karlsson. They're doing with...
Joe.
What a job
Paul McLean has done, Joe. Tremendous. The injuries, Joe. Oh, it's some coaching job, ain't it, Sammy?
Well, you know
did
what?
Did you get the text I sent you last week? This just in from Hammond Blow. NHL teams have injuries. Jeez.
Bruins are now up. I'm sorry. Bruins are now up on Pittsburgh 3-2.
Great. So Pittsburgh will be good and pissed tomorrow night.
Vince is right. Jacob Silverberg, after getting his first three goals against the Rangers, has turned into a hell of a play.
Yeah.
So
speaking of Silverberg. How many more goals in my lifetime am I going to have to see Nick Antropov score against the Rangers?
He's a UFA. Maybe we'll get him. That's what I was saying.
So
we'll get him, and then he won't score again. Or we should just get him so he doesn't score against us anymore.
if him, Wayne Simmons and Silverberg and who's the guy for the Clarkson? Does he always score against the Rangers?
Yeah, he's
they're all got on the same team. Rangers would never win.
Yeah, I mean these guys perennially kill the Rangers.
Subban's becoming another one. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a guy that we Ranger fans really hate because of the slew foot against Girardi, and but he is a super, super talent. The only thing we got to hang our hats on, I mean, if you want to look at another team, is the Flyers sucked. Paul Holmgren must be like, you know, he got kind of caught in the, I don't want to go into a whole NHL show, but he got kind of caught in the Emil Francis thing where Emil Francis, when he made the ridiculous trade and traded away Jean Rattel and Brad Park, and then later Esposito, saying that you know they weren't winning, they couldn't win the cup with those guys, so he decided they needed a change. Well, I think Holmgren kind of got in that, and he just really screwed that team big time. I mean, he sent Jeff Carter to Columbus, and I mean, I know they got Jakub Voracek. He's another guy who always scores against us.
Voracek.
More like Boracek. But, you know, Jeff Carter's got 20 goals. Mike Richards is a solid player. Yeah, they did get Wade Simmons. But he kind of ripped the core of that team. Plus, they signed Chris Pronger to that long-term contract. I guess it was in 2009, 2010. And he's done. And I got no pity that they can't find the goalie. They got to start. Screw them. You know, I mean, I got no pity for you. They're going to suck for years. And plus, they're young players. You know, like they really, I don't think there's a Flyer broadcast, but, you know, Sean Couturier was supposed to be so good, and he hasn't put it together. Braden Schenn has been a disappointment. So, comparatively to the Flyers, the Rangers are looking pretty good. And we got Lundqvist, and now I don't know where I stand. I'm taking it game by game, but these first periods have got to be correct. Yeah, I mean, that's the way I look at it. So, you know what I would like to do, if we can, unless you got something? I would like to do the Mr. Mouth bit, the Ranger roll call.
So, want to do the roll call?
If you don't mind.
No, of course not. Of course not. I've pretty much said all I needed to say. Except for... Nope. Covered everything.
Do we have anything else? that Herman Munster?
Herman Munster, yeah. Where is your theme? Here we go. You ready?
We haven't done this in a while.
I know. You got a big crowd to work tonight. There's a lot of people in that chat room.
Yeah, I want them to hear what actually goes on here.
All right.
I mean, isn't this a fun show, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, this is not like, you know, some rah, rah, rah stat show with freaking, you know, guys with a bunch of hair pieces.
Right.
I'm just bald. I don't have a hair piece.
Right.
Everybody's like, what? Yep. It is what it is.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You keep it out of it.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tommy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Happy day after April Fool's Day. April 2nd. Time for the Ranger Blue Shirt Underground Ranger Roll Call. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the roll call while I make up things about the people that are in the chat room. And I would like to welcome to this broadcast the great Anthony Howell, son of Thurston Howell. That's right. Jim Backus's bastard child. Anthony Howell, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for coming. B23 bullpen. I got baseball on the mind. That's right. I know this man personally. He came down to the viewing party. Great man. And diehard Ranger fan. And the great Bill Mayer. Not Bill Maher, the comedian. I've said that many times. Bill Mayer is he is actually the mayor of Rangerville. City Hockey Fever, that's right. That's the great Paul the Doozy. And he is a doozy hanging out in California with his babe, Meg Gerald, talking about the Kings at nauseam. That's right. I've had enough King talk to last me a year reading their posts, but hey, the Kings are on the rise, and maybe they'll win a cup one day.
Do you hear your old theme music playing in the background here for you?
And Cutter Historical, the great Cutter. Well, maybe the not-so-great Cutter. My friend Jeff Diamond, who has, upon... And for that, I thank you. He's also a big fan of the Kitchener Rangers and is listening live in Kitchener, Ontario to this broadcast. Dig deep. That's right. Dig deep. The great Dig Deep writes from Blue Shirt Panther. Not so great with the new look on BlueShirtBanner.com, but the articles, of course, are always semi-interesting. And Dig Deep is actually one of the more interesting writers over there. So check him out at BlueShirtBanter.com. And then the Donato Slew. Now, I believe that this is the man, Donato, that I see in the Facebook group posting every 30 seconds. You have... opinions, and I like that. As long as you don't threaten to kill somebody's book group, your ace is with me, my friend. So, Chris, I salute you. And then the great Gina F. She's got numbers following her name. If I were you, I would play that in the next lotto or maybe pick five. Do they have a pick five? No, they have a take five. Well, Gina, I'm playing your numbers. And then we have a myriad of... And I'm what the heck? Can you hear me?
Hello? Uh-oh. Did we lose Eddie? See, that's what I get for running to the bathroom during the roll call. I apologize for that. Where did he leave off? The roll call was too powerful. It destroyed the internet. Where did he leave off? I had to run to the bathroom and say hello to Megan real quick. Left off at Gina. Oh, okay. So we got all... See, it was the guests that threw him off. Well, I can...
Oh, shit, sir.
There he is. He's back.
It's a shit circus. Jim, I still can't hear.
We can hear
you. It's a simple radio show.
I can hear you. And they can hear me. So I'm guessing they can hear you. Apparently you left off.
You're going to have to go forward with this because I can't hear a blessed thing.
I can't do this. Like, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Then go.
All right. So here we go. I love you. That's where I left off, right?
Right. Howie Sussman. The great Howie Sussman. Can I do Howie Sussman?
Speaking.
Howie, hey, what do you say? It's Howie Sussman, and he's...
Okay. Howie Sussman. Hey, hey, what do you say, Howie Sussman? Call listening from the Poconos. He's sitting in one of those giant champagne glasses right now with the Pocono Mount Airy Lodge right now.
Full Mount
sipping some Yuengling or something like that. Oh, boy. I'm getting booted all over the place on this stupid thing. All right. If you can still hear me, we got the great Jay Grossman. Jay Grossman is a man who's been here since the dawn of time.
That's right.
He's been listening to this show since basically me and you have.
That's right.
Jonathan from Australia. That's right. I always say the same thing.
Good day. Uh-oh.
Thunder from Down Under. The Aussie who gets the most horsey. That's really bad. Jonathan, I love you, my friend. You're a diehard listener, and you are a superb human being. And the great Manda. Manda has returned to this site in this chat room to basically troll for reactions. And then we got Manny Meatballs. Manny Meatballs? You want Manny Meatballs? No, I want Manny Meatballs. Manny Meatballs, the great Manny Meatballs from Duquesne, Iowa. No, where's Duquesne? I've been making this up. He's from Duquesne, whatever that is. Duquesne. I don't know what I'm talking about. And that's right. And then Megums. Oh, the second half of the Paul Gathuzzi L.A. King fan club. Listen, I'm so jealous of you guys that you got to raise a Stanley Cup banner. But I'm not jealous that you got to listen to that make way for the Kings guy that posts every 5 seconds. Then we got Mr. French. That's right, Mr. French from the great show Family Affairs starring Brian Keith. Seen Mr. French at a viewing party. Was initially scared of him, but I've come to love him and as a brother and as a Ranger fan. So as it is with most fans when you meet them. Person. New York Ranger fan in New Jersey. I feel like my eyes were awoken, Jim, when I met you, and then I found out that there's such a legion of fans in New Jersey, which I was not aware of. These are the diehards. These are the men. So New York Ranger fan in New Jersey, he is their leader. And then Robbie Gallimbardo. Oh, my God. Robbie was flipping out crazy as the Rangers, the Mets won their opener.
Oh, and what a great day.
He was ready to raise the banner over there at Citi Field. Well, it's a long meet season. But I'll tell you one thing.
Best
Robbie,
team in baseball on opening day, it's just those last pesky 161 games that the Mets have trouble
listen,
with.
Listen. Robbie is young, and he reminds me of a young Eddie Guyke, just so averse in sports that his future is doomed. Now, Stan from Bayside. Stanley called in once again. Still has not forgotten that I said I thought he would look like Fred Mertz when he didn't. When he looked like, he reminded me of Steve Summers a little bit, if you ever seen Steve's. But
yes.
Stan is a great caller and always has been since the day he got here. And then,
running out of time, sir.
He's a hassler. He's a guy who's going to go out and make your evening miserable. That's right, C. Hassler. He's the guy who's going to cut you in line, step on your foot, and dump a beer over your head if the Rangers lose. He's C. Hassler. And then we got the great Tom LoCascio. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I see Tom all the time on the Facebook page. He's full of vim. He's full of vigor. He's full of... Well, he's full of lots of Ranger knowledge. And then we go to the great Vince Talavari Tomasiri. Vince Talavari Tomasi. I say Tomasi, you say Tanasi, I say Torquemada. I don't know, Vince.
You can't talk about anything. Uh-oh. We lose Eddie? Wazili, William Toth, Will Kunkel, thank you all for being here. We're running out of time. Got out of